This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
And good afternoon, folks. This is Detours. That was a bit of dead air on Detours. We don't usually get that. Today, it's Greg here on Detours with Macca out in the suburbs, who's going to join us a bit later. And Jody's off on assignment to Melbourne Airport. And Linz is out at Trentham. So you've got me for Detours today. Now, two guests. We've got the lovely Stephen Duns and his partner, Zach. Now, I don't know Zach's surname. What's your surname, Zach?
B-O-K, Bock.
Zach Bock. So Stephen Duns and Zach Bock. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, Greg. Hi. How are you going?
When was the last time you were on Detours, Steve?
I think it was over a year ago. So a little while ago. That's right.
Welcome back. Now, you guys have been doing some extraordinary travel out of Australia and around the world, and we're going to unpack some of your experiences and perhaps picture some of the adventures you've had through your eyes and your words, and maybe we'll get some tastes and smells through you describing what you've seen and done along the way.
Yeah, well, especially tastes, because we had a very culinary sort of adventure as we travelled around some of Europe.
A culinary adventure. Now, we're definitely going to explore that with Stephen and Zach, but later on, coming up at 1 o'clock, you can listen to Cravings, and today they've got blogger and sandwich queen Jackie Middleton on the show, so that's Cravings at 1 after Detours. Now, gentlemen, you didn't go out of Australia together. How did you arrange this travel, and why did one of you go ahead of the other one?
Well, originally we were going to go together, and then it got complicated because some friends of ours got married, some neighbours of ours and friends got married, and so we had to be back in Melbourne by the 18th of April, and I couldn't leave much before because I was doing because of work. So Zach decided he'd head off on his own and have some fun, and then we'd meet up in Lyon.
In Lyon? Meeting up in France. So what was your itinerary, Zach? How did you plan your first leg of this joint trip that you did?
Oh, it was a kind of my second European tour. I did it 10 years ago, and I did London, Italy, that side of Europe. And this time I wanted to do eastern side of it. It's a bit more cold and a bit more, you can say, a bit miserable side of Eastern Europe, which is a... the choice. And it can be very romantic and, you know, relaxed.
That's
myself.
So sweet.
Yeah,
so
by myself. So.
Well, eventually you were going to catch up and endure that romance that one has in relationships as well, which is not bad. But in the meantime, who did you planning? How did you travel? Did you go to a travel agent? Did you do it yourself online? How did you prepare your journeys for your first leg of this joint trip?
Actually, with Adam.
Adam Barillet, who's part of the Hump Day crew on Wednesday morning. So he arranged all of our flights. Us, that's right.
Adam Barillet, fantastic. You're a skilled man.
That's right. And then I think everything I did, I didn't really plan what I want to go and what I want to see. And I didn't take any map with me, though. So I just took my iPhone with me. And the iPhone does everything for me. And you can search whatever way I want to go, what's good for it, and where should I go, where shouldn't go, all sorts of stuff. So
fantastic.
Technology is just so out there, and you can do anything without map, without travel guide. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
What was your first port of call? Where'd you head to out of Australia?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, yep.
That was where I spent about 3 days. And I got a friend up there. I met him about 10 years ago in Sydney, just friend. That was the first 3 days I spent in Europe by myself. It was quite cold, though, but after that, I went to Berlin.
Just before we move on from Amsterdam, tell the story about what do they call the Brown House?
Brown House.
Yeah, because he was determined to, when in Rome, do as Rome does, and to have some marijuana in
smoking establishments. What was it like?
Well,
totally legal in Amsterdam.
Yeah, it is.
Licensed premises.
Well, I quit smoking, but 3 years ago. I'm not smoking now, but I never smoked marijuana before. And everybody said to me, you should try this. And you have to pretend you're smoking marijuana in Amsterdam. And there's so many nice cafes and coffee shops around. And even they call a coffee shop is they're selling marijuanas and coffees. And in all the nice, good-looking canals by the, you know, cafes, and you sit there, have a coffee and a bit of a joint.
What was it like? Did you get blasted?
No, I didn't. I'm a non-smoker, and I'm quite so scared to have a steal marijuana's drugs to me. So actually, I brought a cigarette from the girl next table. So it's kind of pretending have a cigarette like a marijuana. And actually, it's been 3 years now, so it felt quite high to me. So even just a normal cigarette. That was quite good.
That's pretty cool. And then you went from Amsterdam to another country?
Berlin.
Did you fly to Berlin?
No. The whole trip was by train.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And using a Euro pass to get through the different countries. And what did you spend on the Euro pass?
How much was that? There's so many choices you can choose from. There's a couple of passes you can choose for countries or how many trips you can choose from. So Adam got me nice good packages, which is certain countries, limited country, I guess, and depends on how many trains you're going to use. So that cost me, can be quite a lot, but can be less. And also I use night train, which is you can slip in, which means you don't have to spend another money on the accommodation in hotels.
So you can travel overnight, sleep on the train, arrive in your next destination fresh and refreshed.
Yes.
Care of Adam Barrow. Fantastic.
That's right.
So, and that was about $1,000, wasn't it?
But less than that, yes.
Oh, was it? A bit less.
Value. And those rail passes are just awesome, aren't they? Not just for Europe, but you can get the Japan rail if you go through Japan.
Yes.
Fantastic opportunities to travel, which is good. The locals can't get the same pass in Europe. They can't get the same deal that we get in terms of price. So, yeah, if you've got friends over there, you want to purchase them here in Australia. It's much cheaper. What did you do in Berlin?
Actually, I was staying about 2 nights in Berlin. I got a friend of mine here, lives there for about 4 years now, and I was planning to spend some time with him for 2 days. But I made some mistakes. So I spent one more day in Amsterdam, and so I got on one less day in Berlin. Uh-huh. So he took me tourist area, which is the Berlin Wall.
Fantastic.
What's the place you must see there.
With the Berlin Wall, they've got now segments of the old wall that are there as like a reminder, a memorial, if you like.
Yeah, memorial.
Yeah. Right. What was that like, going and seeing parts of the wall and experiencing a little bit of what people might have seen and done?
Well, I think last year or 2 years ago, there was a 20th anniversary, they cleaned the whole wall and they part up about different sections, and then they called all the artists from all over the world, and they painted what they think of the war and the Cold War times, and so they painted their own works on the all different sections. So it's about quite a few of different paintings.
Mm.
So good to see them, and still, well, lots of people around, and behind the wall there's big rivers and. Also, there's big bridges you can normal. They're supposed to be across the east and
the west.
West. Mm. So it's good to see some historic site. That was.
And what's your German like?
Well, guess I had a friend who guided me around. So I never had a chance to talk any German. That was a bit. I like to see talk to it. You know,
but they do speak English quite well, don't they?
Which makes it a little bit easier. Yeah, better than French, I guess.
Now we're going to talk a bit about the other countries you went to, which is Prague. And you went into Switzerland, into Zurich.
That's right.
And then you went to Geneva as well.
Yes.
Before you caught up with Stephen over there. And I think when we come back, we'll also explore a bit about Stephen, because we haven't reminded people. He's actually the president here at Joy. So he's the man we have to... I'm not worthy to. But you're listening to Stephen Duns and his partner, Zach, here on Detours. And their joint travels when they come back together shortly and tell us about what they did in Europe. On Joy
94.9. 94.9. Gay radio, good times.
And you're here on Detours with Stephen Duns and Zach Bock.
That's right.
And their fabulous travels around the world and back again. Now, Stephen, before we go back to where Zach's going through Europe and enjoying amazing experiences, and before he meets up with you, you're the president here at Joy, and I want to congratulate you.
Thank you very much.
The station's got a great buzz. And I'm not going to say it's had a great buzz and it's relaxed while you're away, but
That's right.
But it has. It's developing this great buzz and a relaxed way of just happening and doing some really special things.
Yeah, it's going really well. I think Danae's doing a great job, and that's very exciting. And, you know, I've been around Joy on the board for around 10 years, and it's interesting. This is one of the first times that it is genuinely hassle-free. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm, lots of really good radio happening. And so I'm really pleased with how it's all going along. And we've got so some new staff, and it's always, you know, a bit of a rift when we have new staff, but they are working out really well. And so it's pretty exciting, yeah.
And the quality of the programming, I mean, I took a bit of a time this week just to listen to different shows that I haven't heard before. And it's really exciting listening to people emerging and their personalities coming across and this great talent we've got in volunteers in community radio.
Yeah, it's exceptional. It's really exciting. I've always had the view that Joy should be a sort of a talent magnet, because our community is full of incredibly talented people, and so I think we're getting to that stage, and yeah, some of the people are just exceptionally talented, and that's very exciting.
Now, you yourself an exceptionally talented man, and I'm sure in Zach Bock here, your partner, you've got an exceptionally talented partner as well. So how did you guys meet?
We met online.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So actually, it was quite amusing. I was away in America, in fact, just a few years ago now, and decided I'm sick of online stuff, so I'm going to come back. And when I get back to Australia, I'm going to cancel my memberships. And so I literally logged on in order to cancel, I think it was gay.com and probably Gaydar. I can't remember exactly. But and there was a message from him. And I thought, okay, just one last one. And then, but I literally did. I did that and then sort of cancelled my membership. And so we met. And, of course, it was love at first sight. And it's been wonderful ever since.
Now, let's flip to you, Zach. Was it love at first sight?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Very convincing.
Hard to see, but that website is quite funny. The thing is, if you're not a member, you can't send messages. So only can send little hearts. Say, I'm interested in you, and we were both non-member, so we couldn't exchange the phone numbers or anything like that. So we did a couple of weeks, and I thought, oh no, this is not going to happen because I can't actually talk to him or anything. Like, all we could do was send a little heart.
Ask to each other.
And then, but Stephen found me in some other dating website.
He stalked you.
I stalked him, that's right. Yeah. Sleuth. More of a sleuth than a stalker.
How complimentary is that?
I could say it was a big effort to find this. Almost I was given up. So, and then we're going for 4 years now.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Now, you're a man of culture. Where were you born?
Korean. And I moved to Australia about 10 years ago, 2000.
Have you become ossified? Are you a skip now?
Well, some of the people, yeah, I think so.
Now, when you travelled on the next leg of your journeys to Prague and Zurich and Geneva, I'm really interested to know how much of this is still a Korean man travelling overseas, or how much of it is now an Australian man with Korean origins, and some of the experiences are being coloured by your time here in Australia in your relationship with Stephen. How much of that is new, and do you think as a Korean, or are you starting to think as an Australian? Do you think in English while you're working your way through the itinerary and the place?
Well, after 10 years out here, I don't think, in my brain, I don't think anything in Korean first. I started to think English first and then go back to Korean, but I still got a, you know, Korean background, so whatever I do, whatever I eat or whatever I say, it's always about 20% maybe Korean background, and then I'm thinking or doing acting, speaking as a Australian. And some of the people say at work, actually they call me Bergen because I speak like so much Australian accent I got, kind of. Well, some people might say no, but that was it. And if I go overseas, people they pick my Australian accent from my Korean accent plus. So
now, in Prague, did anyone say where you're from? They couldn't quite pick your accent?
Not in Prague. There was in Amsterdam, people, because they speak quite, you know, English frame almost in every way, they speak quite good. But Prague, they don't seem like speaking English much, and so they didn't really pick my... Probably they wouldn't think I'm Australian, do they? I got an Australian passport, but they don't...
There you go.
Yeah,
you're an Aussie.
They don't get me Australian.
Now, how did you get from Amsterdam to Prague?
Well, Amsterdam to Berlin, and I got the Berlin to Prague. And that was like a 6 hours train, and that was really pretty sad. From Berlin, and you get the train, and there was day train, so you can see it outside. Nice you know, European countryside, which is beautiful.
So you see rolling fields and the occasional village or town comes in. And
that's right.
What was the biggest town you saw along the way? Any big ones?
Well, no.
Lausanne, but that was...
That was from...
No, the other one, right.
It was more in Switzerland.
That's
right.
Geneva, that was.
So you've gone from Prague, which is an 800-year-old city. We're talking about really old European city in Prague. For that, coming from Asian via Australian culture, what was it like hitting a city that's 800 years old?
It is really beautiful, beautiful city. I've seen quite a few European cities before, and I think that was the most beautiful city in European country so far, because I heard that they just few countries didn't get bombed and destroyed by World War past, and they still have a couple of even 100 years old buildings still standing nice, beautifully, with the even daytime or nighttime. As architect, is so beautiful. If most famous bridge is called Charles Bridge, and I think that is, and very romantic at nighttime. It's lots of people kissing around on the bridge, and if you're single, I don't think you should go down there, because everybody's just kissing everywhere.
So did you ring Stephen up from the middle of the bridge on the phone? Hi, honey.
No, at that time we had quite bad news, because our dog was sick and Stephen had to put her down. I was at the hotel.
That's right.
And I called him in the morning, and so we talked about it. But that was kind of a sad moment, and that Prague was quite, if in sad mood or if in good mood, it quite adaptable. Which is whatever you feel like.
Fantastic.
And that's quite good.
Now, you hopped back on the train and you went to Switzerland.
Yes.
So how long to Switzerland from Prague?
I took night train and there was 16 hours.
16 hours?
Yeah.
And you slept most of the way?
I was supposed to get nice, you know, carriage, you know, I can sleep in. But I made another mistake, which is I got the train ticket. It was... I loved the Prague so much, so I spent one more night in Prague, so I got the wrong train ticket, which is the day before. So I got the train and, you know, everything's ready. I was so, you know, because I booked before, which is some of the countries you have to pre-book it, otherwise you don't have a great seat.
Yeah.
Depending on the season. And the conductors came on and said, oh, where's your ticket? I'll get this ticket for you. And they said, oh, this you got a wrong ticket. What do you mean? Oh, this ticket for yesterday ticket. Oh, no. So he was so angry. I don't know why he was angry, but he said, you got the wrong ticket. You should check ticket all the time. He was quite angry with me.
So what did you do? Did he kick you off? Or
No, he didn't actually. Another thing is quite kind. He said, okay, you got a ticket anyway. If you go next destination, which is all the trains comes in, you know, that attached to... other trains. So one train stops somewhere and they detach them and leave them, and other part goes to other countries. I think that's what they do. So they arrange me to see another conductor from other country, and if there's any seat, they can provide me just carriage.
So your luck was in and you were able to continue, but not in the sleeper berth. You had to
I was
16 hours.
16 hours. One of the guys... from conductor from Germany, he's rainbow, I think that he was. He was very kind. He looked after me so nicely, and I had to wait for another train at 1 o'clock in Germany somewhere, and he got me, introduced me other conductor from other country train, and he got me a nice seat. So I had a kind of about 3-4 hours, a bit more recliner, but you can, you know, like almost like you can lie there.
Fantastic.
Side that one.
Yeah. Now, we're in Switzerland. You've arrived in Switzerland. Yeah. Give us a snapshot of fresh eyes in Switzerland. What's it like? What's it like arriving at the railway station and then finding your way around? I assume you've gone to
Zurich first.
Yeah. What's it like? What did you see? What are your first experiences?
It was quite a small country. Small city, I said. But I heard they got a biggest train station, and they could say about more. I mean, a lot of trains comes into Zurich and go to other countries. So train station is quite massive and really big. The weather wasn't really good for me that day, and they say it was snowing on the mountain, even on the city side, so it was quite cold. I didn't have much time, so I had the bus tour, which is I don't really normally do. I think it's quite boring to do like bus tour with the other groups and stuff. I did that for another, there was about 3 hours touring things, but I took 1 hour because that 1 hour wasn't really exciting or anything to me. So
get out on your own two feet.
So I went to the shopping part of town and I did a bit of shopping. Switzerland, you must have a taste chocolate. So I did a chocolate tasting in there, Switzerland.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah. Now, what's the purchasing power of our dollar over in Switzerland? What were you able to buy in euros and how did it go?
They're still using their Swiss francs.
Ah, yep.
And same as Prague, they're using their own currency. Swiss francs was almost same as the Aussie dollar because at this time the Aussie dollar is so high compared to euros and pounds. Swiss francs and Australian dollars quite very similar to ours.
Fantastic. Now, if you're to take away one part of your trip to Switzerland, what's the one bit that you hold on to, that thing you visualise, you remember from your travels through Switzerland?
Actually, I got the train from Zurich to Geneva because I need to meet Stephen at Lyon. And then just train Zurich to Geneva, about 3.5 hours train. And what happens is if you get a train from Zurich, about halfway through, it comes up there from the tunnels. And there's so wide space with a big mountain in the middle and the river goes beside of a mountain. And there's a big hills, very stiff hills, and there's lots of houses, beautiful houses. It's called Roseanne.
Ah, beautiful.
It was so beautiful city. I thought, this is wonderful. Because big mountain, and top of the mountain, there was still snow. And I think it's called lake, isn't it?
Mm.
It's big lake surrounded mountain. And beautiful little houses. And
I hope you put photos up on your Facebook because I know people out there are going to be searching for Stephen Duns and Zach Bock. They're our guests here on Detours today. We'll be back shortly. We're going to find out how they joined up together in their travels through Europe. You're on Detours on Joy 94.9. And that's Plastic Bertrand for Stephen Duns and Zach Bock. Here on Detours on Joy 94.9. And joining us is David MacArthur.
MacArthur, you fool.
I wanted to say that to stir you up.
How you going, Macca?
Good, I'm El Presidente. Good afternoon.
Hiya. Where are you getting a new washing machine or something exciting?
A dishwasher.
Very important in the modern household.
It is, and I've just been up to Bunnings to get an item, and I tell you what, I reckon Bunnings is a bit of a worry. All those men wandering around with nothing to do.
Now, Mac, are we talking with Zach and Steve today? Zach's done introduced us to his journeys around Europe through Amsterdam, Berlin, Prague and Switzerland, and we're about to talk about him and Steve meeting up when they're trying to get to Lyon in France, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, have you done much through Europe, through Prague and Zurich?
I've done Switzerland and France, and interesting because I suppose for Australians the thing that's really different is the amount of train travel that people do in Europe as opposed to driving and flying, and that it's how well set up it is for that.
It is pretty good the way they, unlike Zach who got the train a day late and had to sit up instead of sleeping, didn't you, Zach?
But that's right.
But there's a lot of interconnecting cities that connect by the rail networks, and you can, 6 hours, 4 hours, maybe a bit longer take you to most of the European capital cities.
Exactly, and I mean, many times I've done the trip from Frankfurt to Stuttgart on the train, and it's fantastic because it's so quick, so comfortable, very German in that they have beer and such things available, which is always nice, and cheap.
Well, what's the tips for travellers? For you, Macca, and you in the studio, Zach and Steve, what are the tips for really good rail travel? What do you have to prepare for? What do you need to pack? What do you need to know about the rail?
Reserve a seat. Make sure you have a reserved seat. And make sure you know what platform it's going from. Because nothing worse than, running through a foreign station trying to work out what platform you need to be at. But reserve a seat, very important, or a bunk.
Yeah. That's a very good tip, Macca. Now, you're going to join us again next week?
I am, absolutely. And in fact, on Saturday Magazine as well, we've got State Education Minister Bronwyn Pike, and she's going to make an announcement exclusively on Joy on a new gay and lesbian health initiative.
So that's next Saturday on SatMag.
Sat Mag, and then I'll after that I'll be on Detours.
Fantastic. That should be great fun, Macca. Well, you enjoy your afternoon installing the new dishwasher.
And playing with the boys from Bunnings.
I will, yes, yes. Look, I've got little, all gorgeous things from Bunnings. I love it.
Thanks, Macca, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
See ya.
Bye.
Now, also next week on Detours, we have Daniel Taylor joining us all the way from South Australia. Daniel Taylor's a bit of an expert around, he's written some great books and he speaks in seminars right around the country about bipolar disease. But for him, it's about travelling to do this stuff and how you actually travel city to city to meet these business connections and keep your life sane when your topic's about bipolar. So it should be a really exciting sort of a visit next week with someone that travels a lot in between Australian states. Now, today, once again, we have Zach Bock and we have Stephen Duns here on Detours. Now, we're at the point where you're just leaving. You're in Switzerland.
Yes.
And you're manoeuvring yourself, enjoying your time there and seeing great sights, but your aim is to meet up with Stephen.
So we separated for 10 days and we planned really romantic reunion on the French side of little town, and I imagine the little old train, which is very romantic. There was a Lyon.
Jumped on the aeroplane and travelled Qatar Airways, which I'd never done before. And in fact, they were fine. The only disadvantage was that they go to Doha, and it's a long leg to go from Melbourne, Doha, I think it was 14 hours. So that's a long leg. But anyway, they were fine and good value. But sadly, they were just a little bit late arriving into Paris, Charles de Gaulle. And then that was slightly late. And when I was sort of landing, I thought, I've got a fairly tight connection here onto the train because I've got to get down to Gare de Lyon in Paris. And it's about 45 minutes or so. So then I got off and I had hoped to be able to take both my bags onto the flight, but they didn't let me, so I had to check the baggage. An hour and a quarter it took at Charles de Gaulle for the luggage to come through, so I missed my train.
Yeah.
And so I went and pleaded ignorance and frailty to the train people at the Charles de Gaulle airport, and they were just wonderful. Anyway, so she got me on a flight directly from Charles de Gaulle down to Lyon. Now I didn't have to go through through Paris, so that was just great. But of course, by this stage, I was about an hour and a half late. And I thought, well, that doesn't matter. Lyon, you know, it'd be a lovely little, just like Zach's saying, a lovely romantic little train station. It won't be too hard. And I got there, and it was significantly bigger and busier than Flinders Street. It was huge. There were platforms everywhere. There were people everywhere. And, of course, it was just impossible. I mean, how do you meet someone, especially given that I was late? I'd missed. We were going to go on to Montélimar to stay overnight before we got onto the boat. And I'd missed the train that we were meant to catch to Montélimar. So it was all a bit of a nightmare. And I thought, well, what do I do? I couldn't find Zach anywhere. So I thought, do I just go to Montélimar and hope for the best? Or do I wait here and see if I can find him at Lyon? And then what do we do? So I was, and of course, he wasn't there. And I eventually got the last train from Lyon to Montélimar, which went to some bizarre place. I can't remember. And then I had to catch a bus from there to Montélimar. So anyway, I got there really late, you know, like sort of 10 o'clock or something.
And while this is happening, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Actually, we didn't know Lyon is the third biggest city in France. So there was a thing. And also, there was Easter time. And on the train, I couldn't even move for the train because so many people got a big luggage and they're going to there because Easter break they're having. So,
yeah.
And I'm also scared, and we're supposed to meet on the train like a reunion, have a kiss, you know, French kiss or stuff, and we couldn't do it. And when I get to the Montélimar, I was hoping Stevens could come out from the train from the different carriage. That's what was supposed to happen, but I didn't see him. I started to scare, and the first reason we choose this song, I can't speak French, that's the thing. I couldn't ask anybody, and especially little town, don't speak English.
Well, you got your dilemma in France too. Even if you can speak French and can ask them, they actually have to want to speak back to you because there can be a little bit of arrogance there.
That's from time right. to time. So I was in this little train station by myself, so tired, big luggage, hungry, dark. Nobody speak to me, and people looking at me like because I was the only one, only Asian on the, they were literally.
Only Asian in the village.
That's right, so scared, and then I thought, oh, what am I going to do? And We were supposed to spend the night at the hotel near the station. I didn't know, and I didn't have a phone on me. I didn't have a Stephen. I've tried to call him, but his phone was flat. Can't contact
So all in all, it was a bit of a disaster. And so I eventually arrived into Montana. It was like 10 o'clock at night, and I looked around. I wasn't even in the train station. So I thought, oh, I'll just wander into the train station just in case. And there he was, sitting on the on the bench in the train station. And so it was fine then. But it was,
I can hear the music going.
That's right.
Running from each other down the platform.
I was so relieved. It was such a good feeling to see someone. I mean, even I think maybe this is more dramatic than the meeting on the train, I guess, because it was really good.
Now, we're going to come back and we're going to find out a little bit about Fabulous Boat Trip on the Rhone and then some other adventures that Stephen did at the other end of the trip. You're on Detours with Zach Bock and Stephen Duns, and I'm Greg Atkins.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. Seem to find the happiness I seek.
Ah, yes, you were in heaven, meeting at the railway station. Bit of Peggy Lee there just to get us through. So, what was it like actually meeting? It was you picked up where everything had gone off the rails and suddenly you're back together travelling through Europe.
Yeah, and it was fabulous. And we found the hotel, which was nice and close, and then we went and had a really delicious meal, which was, food was a big, major part of our whole experience. And, you know, we had, it was just a simple little restaurant, but it was really delicious. Foie gras and...
Fresh foie gras.
Fresh, yeah, it was really good. Beautiful. And Montélimar is the centre of nougat.
Centre of nougat?
Yeah. So that was quite interesting. And there's quite a nice little hotel. So then we had to go off to catch up with this friends of mine who'd rented a boat for the 11 days, and we were catching up with them in Viviere.
That's 70 people?
Yeah, about 70 people all up. And most of the people I knew. So it was lots of fun. People from when I lived in Europe. So I was really looking forward to that. And there was no bus going on Saturday, which happened to be Saturday then. No bus going on Saturday from Montélimar to Viviere. So we were wondering what on earth we'd do. And then we said, oh, we need to catch a taxi. And then he couldn't find a taxi that would take us there. And so, eventually we got to Viviere and joined the boat. And that was really fun. That was on the Rhone. And we sailed then for just over a week, 8 days up the Rhone. And Rick, who's my mate, who was his 60th birthday, he paid for everyone to go on this trip. And he had a coach that was going along the river with us. And so we'd get off at wherever it was, and the coach would pick us up. We'd go and have a look. We had a tour guide. And then typically we went to have a little bit of cultural tour and then some wine tasting. So it was really lovely. We went to... we started at Viviere, we went to Beaune, we went to Dijon, we went to Vienne, Lyon, and it was really exciting. So, you know, it was all these wonderful wines like Côte de Beaune and all of those fabulous places, and it was just really exciting and interesting. Went to Cluny. Cluny's very beautiful. So it was all really interesting, fabulous, and so much fun. And I'm ashamed to say that these boats, are typical passengers are 70 plus, and they're pretty sort of meek and mild. We're a slightly more rowdy gang. And now Zach and I have no responsibility for this, but they had arranged alcohol for the 11-day trip. That gang drank them dry in two days. So then they had to get a whole nother truckload in, and we drank that dry again before the end of the thing. So it was a pretty relaxed and interesting and jolly time.
Fantastic. That's awesome. And now on the boat itself going up the Rhone, what's it like? How big is it? Well, how big are your cabins? And what's it like actually experiencing being on the boat?
Well, the cabins were a little bit disappointed because they were two single beds. So Rick had told me there were single men's quarters, and I thought he was joking. But anyway, they were decent size, so they had their own little bathroom, and it was like a Parisian motel room. Sort of small, but not horrible. And the boat was quite comfortable. Interestingly, a lot of the for some reason, the river banks had been lifted up, and so you couldn't actually see that much for quite a bit. The only time it was great fun, when we went to Vienne, I was delighted because we saw these beautiful wine vineyards going up the hill. So I convinced Zach that we need to have a vineyard like that at our farm. and he's very unconvinced.
Oh, that's fantastic. So the Rhone experience, would you do it again? That's always a good test, I reckon, whether it was actually a good experience or not. Would you do the Rhone trip again?
No.
Definitely not.
No, that's not because it wasn't fun. It's just that there's too many other things that are fun to do as well.
Yeah.
And there are very few things that I would do a second time. So, I mean, it was fun. We had a ball. But part of the reason it was fun, because there were 70 people who knew each other and knew each other very well. It was all around Rick's birthday. So we had, it was a really fun and bizarre collection of people. Zach was blown away by these sort of slightly mad English people. It was really lovely for me to catch up with old friends and for... in a sense, that made it special. Yeah. So it'd be very hard to replicate that, I think.
Now, one of the parts of this whole journey was your interest in food, Zach.
Yes.
Zach is a chef. You've got some really firm interest in food and exploring new food tastes. Were you going to explore that in France and Rhone, or where else were you going to go that was going to explore that journey?
Well, we did it in France, although not so much. One of the best things, we went to the marketplace in Dijon. And it was just spectacular. I mean, anyone who's been to a French marketplace, they really are superb. And we bought some delicious cheese. And then as we're going back on the coach to London, we stopped at this little village that was completely bereft of any food. So we sat on the side of the road and ate our cheese and bread. We just bought some bread and cheese and bread, and we're in heaven.
Yeah, beautiful.
It was fabulous. But then part of the whole thing we'd planned was when we got back to London, a couple of the people we met... met up with on the boat. We went to a restaurant called Zoomers, which is
in London.
In London, yeah, a fabulous restaurant. And then we went to, with Rick actually again, to the Fat Duck.
Tell us, I just watched Zach there. The moment you say the Fat Duck, Zach starts quivering with anticipation. Tell us about the Fat Duck, Zach.
Well, Fat Duck is established in 2006, I think. So it's not really long history, but certainly this is, at the moment, a third world best restaurant in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. And the food they're doing is just mind-blowing. Everything is so perfect. And we did like a 3 hours lunch. Yeah. And they only do degustation, which is tasting small dishes. It's almost like a show from the start to the end. It's whole like, big package of a show. And tasting food is just like a... They serve like a soup, but this is not what you think about soup is. It's totally different stuff and different texture.
So exquisite flavors and beautiful presentation.
It's more like a science involved in the food. They use sprays. And so when you eat tea, there's kind of essence and spray on your top of your head. You can smell the essence and you drink tea.
The fish course, they brought out a conch shell, and inside the conch shell was an iPod. And so you put the iPod in your ears, and it was seagulls and waves crashing, so you get the sense of the sea while you're eating the seafood. Another one, we had truffles and something else, and they put a little bit of moss in the middle of the table, and then they poured some liquid nitrogen over the top so that the smoke came out. It was like being inside the forest with the smell
incredible.
Of the moss coming through.
Did you get to keep the iPod?
No, we didn't get to keep the iPod. It was just extraordinary experience. 11 courses and it was fun because the waiters, they took the food very seriously but not themselves seriously. Yep. So they were fun and entertaining, and so we had a ball. It was really good.
Fantastic. And a highlight then, apart from the Fat Duck and the foods in the other restaurants, how many restaurants did you go to, Zach? There must have been more than one or two.
Yeah, we did quite a lot. But which is a bit of a, you know, I love food. It's just, there's so many things you have to taste before you die. I mean, there's so many things and so many favorites. And one of the things I liked was the macaroon. If you go to France, beautiful. You have to have macaroon. It's just so perfect. Beautiful colors, yellow, green, blue, black, or white, anything. And crunch of eyesight, so gooey, soft inside. And it is.
It hooks. Yeah.
It is so nice to have.
Now, while you're salivating there, listening to that restaurant experience, you can continue your restaurant experience with Cravings and Pete Dillon at 1 o'clock. And he's got blogger and sandwich queen Jackie Middleton, Master Chef 2009 winner Julie Goodwin, and New Zealand chef Martin Bosley, who will be at the Savoir Tasmania end of May. You can explain a bit later, Pete Dillon, who's still here. That's coming up at 1. And I did apologise to Julie Goodwin for calling her a MasterChef winner. But it's MasterChef winner. Now, to wrap up our journey with you guys, Stephen and Zach, the end of all this, you separated again. I mean, you're not separated, but you went on separate ways.
We flew back together to go to this friend's wedding, but then a few days later I had to go to New York and Canada. So
off again?
Yeah, that's right.
There's another 10 days by myself.
By yourself?
Abandoned
left
again.
Left on abandoned.
Fantastic. Now, we'll probably have that for another journey to talk about New York. But in the last couple of seconds, highlights, the first three things that come to mind when you think about all your travels, you guys.
Oh, well, actually, one of the most entertaining things was that after we left the Fat Duck, we had to go to the airport and in a rush to go to Paris. And Rick has a drophead Aston Martin DB9. So we were chauffeured to Heathrow in this beautiful Aston Martin car. So that was a fun thing to do.
And for you, Zach?
The Charles Bridge, 12 o'clock midnight in Prague. Such wonderful things to be.
Fantastic. Yes. Zach Box, Stephen Duns, it's been a pleasure having you here on Detours today.
It has been a pleasure for us as well. So thank you, Greg.
Thanks, guys. Next week, Macca will join us again, and Jody in the studio, and Lindsay as well. We'll see you next week, noon on Joy 94.9.
I'm Jo from Crime Stoppers, and I'm longing to travel around the world. But for now, I'm happy to hear all about it on Detours, only on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.